Wonderful, wonderful season again, full of color, full of life, full of joy. It's Christmas again. And for the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to quickly meditate on God's word. Is that okay? Yes. Children, are you ready for this? Yeah. How many of you know someone called Mr. Grinch? Yeah. Yeah? What did he do at Christmas? He stole, he tried to ruin Christmas, didn't he? So let's watch a video. Are you ready, Charles? Would you introduce us to Mr. Grinch?
From coming. Oh, tomorrow I know. All those fool girls and boys will wake bright and early. They'll rush for their toys and then... Oh, that noise, oh, the noise, 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 noise. And they play noisy games like Zuzita Kaze, the roller skate type of lacrosse and croquet. And then they'll make ear-splitting noises to looks on their great big electro-hookardio schnooks. Then the fools, young and old, will sit down to a feast, and they'll feast, and they'll feast, and they'll feast, 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 feast. They'll feast on who pudding and rare who roast beast. Raw roast beast is a feast I can't stand in the least.
That was Mr. Grinch. How many of you like him? Nobody likes Mr. Grinch, except for a couple people. And Alan right at the back. Now, here's another question. There was somebody like Mr. Grinch in the Christmas story. Can you tell me who he was? Who was he? His name starts with a H. What is it? Herod. And who was he? He was a king. Now, the Bible describes a man called Herod who was a king, and he tried to steal Christmas. Except, unlike Mr. Grinch, he was a real person. He wasn't a make-believe character. He was absolutely real. The story is told in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through to 13. How many of you can read? Really read. Okay, we're going to read together. Are you ready for this? Mummies and daddies, uncles and aunties, boys and girls, are you all ready to read?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to read this together. One, two, three, go. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father. Now, you're reading really well, except I'm going to stop you there. We need Matthew chapter 2. We might be here for a long, long time. While they do that, let's play this. Tell me, who else is there in the Christmas story? Oh, you're here. Okay, are you ready? One. That was just a rehearsal. This is the real deal. One, two, three, go. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. What a liar he is. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented with the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, Herod was not a very nice man, was he? Do you know of any evil kings? Who was the nastiest king you know? Who? Henry the Eighth? Now check out what this guy did. If you can compare him to Henry the Eighth. Herod became the governor of Judea when he was 25 years old, almost as old as I am. And then he did so well that in 7 years, when he was 32, they declared him the king of the Jews. Now, the Jews, the people of Israel, were not very happy for two reasons. One, he wasn't from Israel. He was an Edomite. And they said, how can you be our king? It's like somebody from France becoming the king of England. You'll say, no, we need somebody from England, wouldn't you? Yeah. And the second reason is that he didn't really care about the people of Israel. So they didn't like him. So to pacify them to begin with, he was very nice. He built them a big temple. He built big palaces. And then he gave them lots of chocolates. Not really. But he gave them lots of food when there was a famine. So they all thought he must be a nice guy. But very soon the Grinch inside him came out. And Josephus, a historian, says, as years rolled down, he started killing everyone he did not like. He had a 16-year-old brother-in-law who he kind of thought, he's becoming cooler and smarter than me. So he held his head underwater and killed him. Not very nice, is it? And then one day he didn't like his wife very much, so he did pretty much the same to her. And then he did the same to his mother-in-law. My mother-in-law's here today, so I won't say a word. And the worst, when he was about 70 years old, this evil Grinch became so paranoid that he killed his own two sons because he thought they were becoming young and powerful. Now, this was King Herod. Do you like him? Can I get you a Herod doll for Christmas?
No!
I'm not surprised. I don't like him either. Now, this is the time this grumpy old man is sitting in his palace and three magi from the east come in and say, we've seen a star. They come with their troops, their diplomats from the east, and they say, a king of the Jews, the Messiah, has been born. And Herod says, what, another king? This 72-year-old grumpy Grinch gets really cross. So that is the story we're looking at this evening. These three magi had a strange question. They said, O King Herod, where is the one who has been born the king of the Jews? So this is the time where Mr. Grinch tries to kill Christmas, and heaven, the magi, the shepherds, they're all trying to fight back against Mr. Grinch. Now, all of us during the next few weeks will have Grinches in one way or another. Isn't that true? Mummies and daddies, may I talk to you now? Grinches are real in life, aren't they? There are things that come to us that spoil our joy, that attack us. They may be tough times you go through, or they may be weird relatives you come across, or you might have difficult news you have to cope with. But Christmas is impossible, a time for most families where Grinches in different shapes and sizes come into our lives. There are three quick things I'd like you to take home with you this evening on how you deal with the Grinches at Christmas. The first thing the Magi did, they went searching for Christ during Christmas. What do they do? How do you search? If you lost something, how do you search? This is Malachi's puzzle. If you're missing a piece, what do you do? You search for it. Sometimes we find it under the sofa, don't we?
Yeah.
Or in the most improbable places. But the first thing we do at Christmas is search for Christ during Christmas. Now, the Herod was all about power and stuff he could get. All he wanted was a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff, because he thought that's what's going to make him happy. But the Magi knew, the shepherds knew, no amount of presents can ever make me happy. There is only one thing that can bring joy on the innermost core of my life, that is Jesus. Did you know that? It is so easy this season to make it about relatives, make it about the money, make it about buying nice presents, making sure your fridge is stocked up. But ladies and gentlemen, this Christmas, will you search for Christ during Christmas? The Magi went around looking for Christ. They said, that is the only thing that matters. They found a star in the skies that was a sign from God to them. Did you know heaven is constantly talking to you? Did you know that? Different shapes, different forms. Somehow heaven is communicating with you to say, God cares. God is real. He's interested in me. He's interested in you. And if we are able to respond to the sign in heaven, the Bible tells us and assures us, if you take a step to Jesus, Jesus will take a million steps to you and he will run towards you. So the first thing I need you to take home during Christmas is search for Jesus during Christmas. Now, if you think of the Magi, they were diplomats, weren't they? They were pretty cool people. They had busy lives. Or you think of the shepherds. Did you know what they did?
Looked after sheep.
They looked after sheep, but they were very, very certain that they were going to look for Jesus above all else. They were willing to break their traditions. They were willing to set apart time. The only thing of importance during that Christmas Eve was Jesus. May I encourage you this Christmas, out of all the things that you might do, would you make pursuing Jesus, searching for Christ, the most important thing you'll do? You'll tell me, Sam, how do I do that? It's really, really simple. How many of you are going to take time off during Christmas? Some of you. How many of you are going to work during Christmas? Some of you. Christmas is a time when you are sitting often at home with your family. May I challenge you this Christmas that every single day when you are when you've got time away from work, you will prioritize at least 30 minutes finding time to read the Word of God. Trying to go for a walk and say, Jesus, this is my time with you. Or for some of you, it's listening to music to say, I'm going to listen to worship songs and I'm just going to make this my time with Jesus. Can I challenge you? Would you make family prayer time a priority this Christmas? Could you do that? Would you gather your family together and say, children, the most important thing this Christmas for us is Jesus. So every day, I want you 15 minutes coming, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. You decide, but would you put Christ first this Christmas? The second thing is about giving. Christmas is all about giving, isn't it? Herod somehow did not recognize the greatest gift that was given to humanity. He was all interested in taking. All he was interested is in taking. How many of you have ever been disappointed by the presents you got? It wasn't quite what I like. This aunt always gives lousy presents. This person never gives decent presents. What can we do in this family to get some kind of decent presents? Did you know, for the Magi, for Herod, it was all about taking. But when Magi discovered the greatest gift given to humanity, for them, it was all about giving. May I challenge us this Christmas that our lives would be more about giving. We wouldn't play the Christmas game, what did you get for Christmas? What did you get? What presents did you get? Would you turn it around and play the game, what did you give for Christmas? Can you do that? Could you play that game with your family? What did you give to someone in need this Christmas? What did you do that mattered to someone this Christmas? I always think, dare I say this, we're a society who are spiritually constipated, aren't we? It's funny, think about it. We just take and take and take and take. My son has this wonderful book. How many of you have read this book, The Dinosaur Who Pooped a Planet? If you haven't read it, you must read it. This is a very, very greedy dinosaur who goes into space and he eats all the planets and he eats the satellites and he also eats the moon and he then ends up with a huge big tummy. Sometimes at Christmas, this is how we look. Because we take and we take and we take and we forget to. We have big tummies, much bigger than mine. May I challenge you this Christmas? Don't be spiritually constipated, because the Bible at the first Christmas challenged us to be people who give. People who are generous. The Magi were wealthy people. They were diplomats. The shepherds were poor people, weren't they? But both groups of people, there was one thing in common. Both were willing to be generous. Both were willing to give. Whether you are rich or whether you are poor, this Christmas Eve, the second thing God challenges me and challenges you is to give. And can I give you a side note? You must also eat a lot of desserts. Do you remember this one? The word stressed is spelled backwards as desserts. If you eat a lot of desserts, you can take away a lot of stress. That is the only thing you're allowed to eat this Christmas. Yes, if mommy and daddy refuse to give you a second portion, say, Sam told us desserts is what you need not to feel stressed. Yep. The final thing the Magi did. What is the first thing they did? They? The second thing they did? They gave. And this is the final bit where I end. The third and the final thing they did is when they saw baby Jesus, what did they do? They worshipped him. They bowed down and worshipped him. They made a decision. Are you listening to me? You search, you give, you recognize that Jesus is Lord. But if you recognize him as the Lord and as the Savior, this Christmas, may I challenge you to make a decision and worship him. Give him your life. Make him the king and the Lord of your life like the Magi did and the shepherds did. Herod wasn't willing to do that. He recognized that Jesus was the king of the universe, and the only thing he tried to do was to kill Jesus, reject Jesus, say, I can't take this. I can't change my life. But the Magi and the shepherds, they made a decision. to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you've never invited Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you recognize that He is God. You recognize that God exists. You recognize that He cares for you. May I challenge you this Christmas? There is no bigger, there is no greater decision you will make apart from deciding to follow Jesus. Let me read you a quote from Harry Arbour. This is what he says. The point of Christmas is that the simplest soul is told that God understands them. He tells us that God identifies with our problems, sorrows, hopes, frustrations, and joys. God knows them, not because God made us, not because God is all-knowing, but because God became a simple soul. God became a human being. God became one of us. Make sure you look up and see the star this year. Make sure you make that trip to Bethlehem and peer into the stable. Don't be like Herod and miss the greatest gift ever given. Search, give, but above all, decide to follow Jesus. Band, would you come forward? Church, would you stand with me? Children, boys and girls, mummies and daddies, would you close your eyes with me this Christmas season and just ponder for a moment and say, I want to search for Jesus this Christmas. I want to make everything about Jesus. I want to give more than I receive this Christmas. But above all else, I want to make sure that I decide to worship Him. I want to make sure I make the most important decision a human being can ever make. It is to invite the God of Christmas into our hearts, into our homes, into our families. This evening, if you want to make that decision, all you do is say, Dear Jesus, I recognize You are the Lord and the Savior of humanity. I want You to save me. I want You to save me. I'm sorry for my sins. I want You to come into my life and live inside me. And if you make that prayer, you made a decision to follow Jesus, and Jesus will come and live inside your heart. Let me pray for you this evening. If you want any one of us to talk to you again after the service, we'll be delighted to talk to you. But otherwise, as you go into Christmas, search for Jesus. Give more than you receive, but above all, decide to follow Jesus. Father, we thank You for this beautiful season of Christmas that we are entering. We want this Christmas to be all about You. We want You, Lord, to be the heart and the center of our lives this season of Christmas. We want to be generous people, but above all, we want to make decisions to pursue You and follow You. And all of God's people said, Amen. Would you give the Lord a round of applause and let's sing our final carols.